Boulevard and beyond. Well, I did go to see the movie, The Monuments Men, and I'm not a movie critic. I really don't criticize the actors. I just thought it sounded like an interesting movie. And actually, I had seen sort of a documentary on TV about it. It's interesting to me because of the history, but because of the relationships that these men had, and most of them were men, although there were some women in real life, and because of their dedication to the duty that they wanted to do. Because, of course, the people who were doing this work were not soldiers. That's not how they started out. They were there because they wanted to save works of fine art. And so this new Hollywood movie, The Monuments Men, was released in February, and it focuses on those unsung heroes of World War II. And in the movie, it's basically about seven people, but of course the numbers were larger than that. And the whole armed services got involved, or parts, special forces of the armed services got involved in helping to carry out some of this work, and I'll mention that again. One of the critics said this is a movie about aspiration, culture risk, and things worth fighting for. It's not been a high profit maker. You know, when they give you that list of how much money movies are making, Lego's outranked The Monument Man every time. So, and I can understand that, because it's not a movie that has lots of action, any kind of special works in it. I mean, it's just kind of a good movie, to in my way of thinking. Nothing real outstanding about how it was made and so on. But the important story is why it was made and what the story tells. Now, of course, in any movie that's based on true life, a lot of things have to change to make it a more interesting story. But it still has that. George Clooney, who put it together, said it was 80% factual. Some others might argue that it wasn't quite that much so, but folks who really knew what was going on, that it's at least it gives an overview, a kind of a picture of what all this was about. And it was an international movement. It was not just the United States that was working on it. It was international volunteers from the public art services that formed the Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives Program, MFAA, Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives Program, to search for tangible cultural heritage in war zones. And so it does give you a bit of that history. Cultural heritage has always been prided over, fought over, and lauded over in times of change, such as in war. Why is that? You'd think, well, there's not a lot of value in that. Well, tangible cultural property, which art and historical artifacts fall under, is seen as a source of power and influence, and therefore countries or groups plunder and take, you know, or they destroy those items in order to take over control of the established order. So it's in the minds and emotions of people that, when we talk about power and control, makes a big difference in people's lives and how things go. Before the Hague Convention of 1954, for the protection of cultural property in the event of armed conflict, long titler, cultural heritage was not thought of as something that needed to be protected by law, and World War II was the event that changed that. And during World War II, the Nazis set up special departments, special forces, for the seizure and securing of objects of cultural value. Not only those in museums, but also in private holdings. Of course, many of those were from Jewish homes. They just went in the homes and took all that artwork, and there was great artwork there. And in just in Germany, they plundered 427 museums, and they destroyed 1,670 Russian Orthodox churches, 237 Catholic churches, and 532 synagogues. And of course, much great work, artwork has been in our religious sanctuary, so to speak. Now, when these forces went in from the Nazis, they also photographed these works and cataloged them. And so there were books and books of the inventory of what all this work artwork was, whether it was public or private, so that Hitler could look at those and go, oh, I want this one and I want that one and on. And so it was very important to keep a record of those. So in one inventory of 39 volumes featuring looted art and antiques, it shows 21,000. This is in one inventory, 21,930 works of art, 5,281 paintings, pastels, watercolors, and drawings, 684 miniatures, glass and enamel paintings, illuminated books and manuscripts, 583 sculptures, terracottas, medallions, and plaques, 2,477 articles of furniture of art historical value, 583 textiles such as rugs and embroideries, 5,825 objects of decorative art, 1,286 East Asiatic artworks, such as bronzes and sculptures and jewelry and so on, 259 artworks of antiquity. That's in one volume that those numbers of items were listed. So if you think about the volumes and volumes of those books, they're just... I'm thinking millions of items that were stolen, and many of them, of course, were hidden away by the Nazis so that they would be protected. The recovery of these items and the protection of countless other items was not only due to the bravery of individuals and institutions in occupied territories, but to the ingenuity, my tongue isn't working well today, sorry about that, ingenuity of Allied governments. Before the U.S. entered World War II, art professionals and organizations were working to identify and protect European art and monuments in harm's way or in danger of Nazi plundering. And their efforts ultimately led to the establishment by U.S. President Franklin D. Roosevelt of the American Commission for the Protection and Salvage of Artistic and Historic Monuments in War Areas. Seeing a need by this commission established then the Monuments, Fine Arts, and Archives, which we talked about before, the MFAA. And so this is, again, this was an international effort, not just something the United States did. And it started before the United States went into the war. The MFAA program included 345 service members and civilians from 13 countries who were museum directors, curators, art historians, artists, architects, and educators. Not folks who you would expect to be on the front lines, but that's where they had to go, and often went into towns that had been already given up by the Germans, but before the ground forces went in, and so there was great danger to be doing this. They also supplied the troops with aerial photographs, which were marked with monuments of cultural importance so that the pilots could avoid damaging such sites during bombings. And probably wasn't followed all the time, but certainly assisted in keeping some of those important items from being destroyed. And when damage to monuments did occur, the MFAA personnel worked to assess the damage and buy time for the eventual restoration work that would follow. In the movie, it shows that some of these items were hidden in salt mines or other kinds of mines, and that is a fact. A photograph shows Lieutenant General Omar Bradley along with George Patton Jr., and General Dwight Eisenhower inspecting paintings that were stored in the Meeker salt mine in Germany. So that's a part of that true fact, that was a safe place to store many of these artifacts. In Germany alone, U.S. forces found about 1,500 different places, not just three or four salt mines or other places, but they in Germany found 1,500 repositories of art and cultural objects, looted from institutions and individuals across Europe, and as well as the German and Austrian museum collections that had been evacuated for safekeeping. So the Germans did want to keep their own works of art safe, and so they were also put in these places, but along with all of the items that were stolen. So it's just been interesting to me to see all of the work that was done successfully, but it is important to note that for the amount of work that's been accomplished, most recently in November of 2013, a Nazi art stash of 1,200 works was discovered in a Munich apartment, and these were works that would have been either destroyed or they were things that Hitler thought were bad art, and so he would have said, well, I'll just sell these for profit, for laundering schemes. So there's still artwork out there that is still trying to be salvaged by the MFAA. If you want more information, if you think this would be of interest to you, there are several other books. One of them is called Saving Italy. And, of course, there is the actual book, The Monuments Men, with the subtitle Allied Heroes, Nazi Thieves, and the Greatest Treasure Hunt in History by Robert Edsel, E-D-S-E-L. So you could find more information. Until next time. You cannot control anything but your thoughts, so why not let go of trying to control what isn't yours and to control what you can?